And welcome to our show, Geeks Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
It's a me!
And Ted.
It's a me.
And Anna.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hello. Oh, well.
Yeah. Look at that.
We
burned through everybody.
No. What about you, Bill?
Yeah, Bill.
Oh, yeah. It's me. We'll go with that.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
I did
about 30 seconds.
In the Luigi style, if you were wondering. It was delayed because I'm the oldest of my siblings, and so I'm used to being Mario.
No. There you go.
Yeah, Luigi was always little brother mode.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Well, then I guess we could just get into random show stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Mega Man is getting a TV show.
Is Netflix doing it?
Maybe. There's a lot of... Still, it's being worked on.
I think Cartoon Network's the one producing it.
Oh, I can see that.
Is it a cartoon or a live action?
Cartoon.
Wasn't there already one?
There was. Yeah, okay. I forgot who did the original one, 1994. It was just trash. It was a 90s like video game IP adapted to a cartoon, like Double Dragon or Battletoads or some crap like that.
Wait,
like,
Double
you don't
Dragon
really
had
need a synopsis of it. It was the same thing as all the other ones.
Double Dragon had one. What was the other one you said?
Battletoads had one.
Battletoads had a cartoon.
Capcom.
There's Captain N, but that was a little bit earlier.
There was like three Mario Brother ones.
Well, I know about
the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, and
I like the live action
Mario 3 or something like that.
In Super Mario World.
The live action where this, like, Ron Jeremy looking guy was like Mario. That was awesome.
Yeah, Captain Lou Albano.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, he was the wrestler, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a pro wrestler. That's the reason they got so many pro wrestlers to be on the show. Just because he was like, hey, you want to be on this weird show I'm on? They'll let me drink on set, and we get a good paycheck out of it.
Okay, so yes, it's supposed to go to Cartoon Network.
I don't know if Captain Albano drank on set. That's allegedly. Allegedly.
In 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him. He drank on set.
Look at that. It's American, Japanese, and Canadian.
That's the best way to do it.
I know. That's how you should do any show.
So
there's a little weirdness to the show because like Mega Man fans, as always, flipped out and said it's the worst thing ever, even though we haven't seen any of it. And looking at it just superficially, like, it doesn't look as ridiculous as the 1994 Mega Man cartoon adaptation for the American market. Mega Man's been adapted to a cartoon like about a bajillion times, mostly in Japan. But like, we got like the weird one 1994 that I think lasted two seasons before they finally put it out of its misery. This one's actually got a weird amount of muscle behind it. One of the Deadpool writers, Joe Kelly, who also worked on the Ben 10 series as a EP, is EPing this. So it actually may be an okay adaptation for an IP that nobody cares about for a failing company, but it's got like a tremendous amount of muscle behind it considering the circumstances. It's really an anomaly on its own.
That works.
Alex, are you going to get the season pass right before it comes out and just tough it through it?
You know, I don't know. I'm a Mega Man fan. Nothing's ever going to please me. They could do it pretty much perfectly, and I'm going to find something wrong with it. Maybe this just comes from expectations of an IP that's ran for about 30 years. No, actually, it's run for 30 years because the first Mega Man game was 1987. But they also have a hard time like doing adaptations of it just because there have been so many. It's gone through so many turns over the years, and trying to like make a single cartoon series to capture that is really difficult. So they've got their work cut out for them, but I mean, at least they're trying something original.
Yeah, see if it'll break the curse.
It was a platformer. There is no plot. There was a platformer.
Ah, Ted, but you would be very wrong about that. No, actually, Mega Man has an insane amount of lore, which is part of the reason it's hard to please fans, because they know all the lore, but the lore is not very well documented. So the only way you could ever learn what happens to Mega Man is to pick the brain of an intolerable human being that has actually studied up all the Mega Man art books released over the past, like, 30 years to actually have read all the like author and studio notes from Capcom about what is happening in the game. And the game doesn't really have much of a great plot, and it really doesn't have much of a leg to stand on in terms of deep lore, but it exists. And if you ever step out of bounds on that, it's really bad. The best analogy I can think of in terms of like a broader audience pop culture icon is probably Sonic the Hedgehog. Like, the reputation of Sonic the Hedgehog fans is completely the same as Mega Man fans. They're that disgusting.
All right, so Alex, like, Sonic the Hedgehog fans basically like furries?
Pretty much. I think Mega Man fans want to be a cell phone or something.
So if this opinion offended you, you can send us an
or
email.
Or supported it.
Oh, yeah. Or you're supportive of this opinion. You can email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com or give us a call at 1-801-896-4335.
I figured also, if they want to, they could ask Alex to elaborate on the Mega Man lore.
Yes. If you'd like
don't
more information.
Started. It's like Metal Gear deep. It's ridiculous.
So if you want a whole podcast on Mega Man lore, email us.
Or call,
and we'll do it dollop style.
Ooh!
Send a bottle of whiskey to this PO box address, PO box 431, Megalopolis, Japanistan, Nation of Capcom.
Alex, you have to give me a warning so I can strategically be sick that week.
No.
It could be fun.
Yeah, it could be quite
an hour of Mega Man lore.
I could just try to explain like the Mega Man universe while you guys try to like sit through it. Like, it's just kind of a tap out thing.
Alex, and I'll just try and figure out ways to strangle you through the airwaves.
Oh, it could be our first drunk podcast.
Ooh.
Yeah. Everybody's drunk except for Alex.
I'm drunk every podcast. What are you talking about?
That's a fair point.
Everyone's drunk on the podcast then.
So would that be called Drunk Cast?
Drunk Cast.
I like it.
I just heard him opening a beer.
No, he didn't.
It was a soda pop.
It was definitely a Rainier Cola.
Oh, yeah.
He just pounded it. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he crunched it already. Good job, Alex.
Way to go.
Okay, other things they're bringing back is Galaxy Quest is going to turn into a TV show. And Paul Scheer is going to be making it.
So who's Paul Scheer?
For Amazon. Paul Scheer.
Maybe you could say for the, you know.
For the listeners?
The people at home.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Okay, I see his face. I don't know who that is.
Well, he did. So, okay, he's a comedian. I'm trying to look at. Actor, comedian.
You know, if you're going to drop a name, you should at least tell us.
All right.
Look, he was in The League.
Well, that was his actor. He's also directed.
Drive Share, Party Over Here, Children's Hospital, Newsreel. Oh, Children's. Oh, that explains it.
There you go.
Yeah, no, won't be watching.
Okay, how about a writer?
As I say, I'm not a fan either, Bill. Sorry.
No.
I don't appreciate anything he's done.
Yeah, none of this
nothing?
Is good.
How about Funny or Die? He does a lot of stuff with Funny or Die.
Okay, but the thing is that those are really hit and miss, and I'll bet he wrote the ones that are miss.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's been on Veep and...
Stuck, Best Friends, Veep. Yeah, no, I'm not seeing anything.
You're not seeing any? You don't recognize him? All right.
Yeah, so officially
I think he would do a fairly decent job at it, but I'm kind of more interested... They're gonna go. Is also Amazon apparently is just dropping episodes like Netflix style.
I know they're cranking it out too with all their series now. Yeah.
Well, like The Tick just got released, and I was expecting like a every week.
Yeah.
No, they just dumped the season.
Did you watch it? I watched the first episode. That's pretty fun.
Found three.
Is it animated or live action?
Live action.
Oh my gosh!
And it is written and created by the guy who played it last time.
Yeah, that's fun. I like it so far.
Yeah.
The guy with the super deep voice.
Yep.
The Lemony Snicket.
Mm-hmm. Lemony Snicket.
It's only the 20-minute episodes. I watched it after Game of Thrones. It was fun.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. He's still involved with it because he was the original voice of The Tick, wasn't he?
I think so.
He's, I'm not sure. I
think he was.
And I know he was the live action, too.
I can't remember if he's the voice of the original animated Tick.
There's only been like the one, really. I thought there were a couple.
I don't remember. I only remember
one animated series, but they did do another live act, like a separate live action one, didn't they?
Yeah, he was the take in the live action one.
Okay. So yeah, because I don't know if he actually did the voice. Someone else may have done that one, but that's cool. He was involved because Patrick Warburton in general is like he's fun.
It was somebody else who did the voice.
Townsend Coleman.
Yeah, he's
might
done.
Know him from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and
Michelangelo. Yeah.
Spoon.
He plays Commissioner. He voices Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, but he shows up in the new series as a different character. That's cool. Midnight.
Ah, I'll have to look up that episode.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. I like the first episode.
That's like, I think, the first thing that Amazon's produced as like an original series I've actually wanted to watch. And actually, that's not true. I wanted to watch The Man in High Castle, and then I watched it and hated it. But this may be the redemption for Amazon Prime for me.
So you can watch Mr. Robot.
Yeah, Mr. Robot USA.
On Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
No, he means Amazon Original.
This is an Amazon Original.
That's fair.
So, the guy from Guardians, the line, what a bunch of a-holes.
Oh, yeah.
He is the Tick.
Doesn't look familiar.
Yeah, he does a good job. He's funny.
Thanks. He, Guardians of the Galaxy.
I get it, but I don't remember who said that.
This guy.
Sorry.
Here would be this guy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got it. I feel like we've gone full circle on this.
You know that one guy?
He's the roommate in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
That always gets mad at him.
I know who he is. Yeah. So, you know, all these older cartoons and stuff are getting remade, so I'm just waiting for... dang it, I was all ready to say it. Now I forgot the freaking name. It was an old MTV Liquid Television one, and it was about a guy that, like, went back and forth between the real world and the caravan, like the savannah.
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about? And he like, his psychologist was in both places, and he had the saver, and oh my gosh, it was like the best thing ever. The Max.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That was a comic book, yeah.
I want to see that remade. That's what I want to... That was...
No. Actually,
I don't know. The Birdie introspective insecure hero... is kind of, I mean, I'm okay with that being an artifact of the 90s.
Yeah, they haven't done anything since... Yeah, well, show-wise. But I mean, with them trying to bring back Spawn and, you know, some of these others from that time period of, you know, fandom.
I just like the like, mind-bending parts of it where he wasn't sure if like...
Which was real.
Which was real and... Was it both? Was it one of them? Is any of this real? Like, that's what I really liked. And, like, he'd do these, like, he'd be talking as a narrator, and then he's like, or was I just saying that out loud? Like, that's one of my favorite gags, is the, did I just say that out loud thing, so.
Hey, if they can make a live action of Aeon Flux, why not the Max?
It doesn't even have to be live action. They could just do a new animated series. I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Or just re-release the old one. That's good, too. Either way, just so I get more Max.
Well, that'd be cool if they did get down streaming. I could go for some live... I could go for a repost of live action Max. Or the animated Max.
Well, the original is on Amazon, apparently.
It says
it is. Oh, cool.
$1.99 for standard definition.
That's right.
Per episode.
I got all excited when the Golden Girls are free on Amazon. Or on Hulu, but I mean, that's a show that they just showed all the time on A&E because it basically had like bargain basement syndication pricing. So they basically just got like unrestrained access to just show it like pretty much all hours of the day on A&E and Lifetime. I basically grew up, the Golden Girls were what I did every time I stayed home from school instead of going to school.
And summer, don't forget that.
I got excited when that was for free on streaming. So, I mean, the least they could do is show me some stuff that I actually had to work for to stay up and watch on television as a free streaming thing. So, yeah, definitely bring back Aeon Flux, the Max.
Yep. I don't know. I remember.
Did you watch Duckman? That one?
Yeah, bring Duckman back. Oh, man, that's another good 90s cartoon.
I couldn't get into that one.
I kind of liked The Head, but I never finished watching it.
Oh, The Head was good.
But The Max just... was my standalone favorite.
I like Amplex, The Critic, Spawn. Spawn was mine.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be coming out with a darker...
good old...
version of it.
Liquid television.
It was pretty dark. It was unsatisfying, though. It felt like they ended it prematurely. It didn't really have an ending.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they really expected it to end as...
yeah. You know,
I think MASH was another one like that. Like, you're talking about Golden Girls, where, like, MASH was just on all the time. Like, anytime during the day, you could just watch MASH.
And what if neither one of them was that great of a TV show, but just because we built so much nostalgia because it was syndicated absolutely everywhere, everyone assumed it was a great show? It's like Seinfeld or The Simpsons.
Yeah, I'm not into either of those. I was in The Simpsons for a bit, and then I definitely dropped back out.
The Simpsons is demonstrably kind of a bad show now, but I even kind of wonder if, like, Seinfeld wasn't even that great. Because, like, go back and watch, I'm like, ah, this is just a bad episode. But what if there are no good episodes of Seinfeld?
I think that's probably the case. Yeah,
I'll go with that.
I was never
are better
a big
left
fan
in the past.
Seinfeld.
It's marketed as a show about nothing, so I mean, they don't really have a leg to stand on.
So if, like, atoms are basically like, you've got, you know, your nucleus, and you've got, like, these electrons kind of floating around it, but there's just a bunch of space, and then when they combine, they just kind of share electron shells, so they're not even touching, so they're not really packed that tightly. Doesn't that mean that we're more nothing than something?
You're just full of emptiness.
What's the deal with quantum mechanics?
I know.
I'm just saying, stop calling me fat.
Yeah.
Is it here, or is it there? Is it both at the same time? Am I right?
We'll never know.
Yeah, that's the reasons I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
That's basically every episode of Seinfeld. It's just like it's a bit about airplane food, and then that.
All right.
I did like how at the very end they pointed out how they're just basically terrible human beings.
Yeah.
That
was the best finale episode of any TV show ever.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like, that was such a good way to wrap it up.
We try to justify why we're horrible people, but yeah, we're just horrible people.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's a bottom
line. That's why Always Sunny in Philadelphia is a better... we're horrible people, and this is up front.
They embrace it.
Yeah.
And no laugh track
either. Every episode of a show was the last episode of Seinfeld. That's so exciting.
but then the next episode has to one-up it.
Yeah.
So that's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It just, they constantly get worse.
You're better Seinfeld with Curb Your Enthusiasm, though. That's coming
true.
Back.
Never got into it.
That's a way better Seinfeld.
Yeah, I liked it. It's just...
huh.
He just overreacts too much. Maybe because I never liked Seinfeld. I don't like
Yeah, because it is pretty much just the modern day Seinfeld.
The guy's just freaking out over nothing, and I'm like, ugh.
But no laugh track again, too.
If George Costanza has his own show, that's what you get. Like, if your favorite character in Seinfeld was Costanza, then definitely Curb Your Enthusiasm's a good show.
Yeah.
The Costanza show.
It is. Yeah, because George Costanza was Larry David.
It'd be great if there was a TV show that everyone's George Costanza. Like, everybody in it.
Yeah.
He has to date himself and then complain about himself.
Is that like being John Malkovich, but being...
yes, it's like the inverse. It's like everybody's John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, how about we go to the more shows that they...
yeah, Netflix.
More Netflix. So who all has actually got to watch all the Defenders?
I didn't watch any of it because I haven't finished Iron Fist yet.
Yeah, like I said, I saw it before. I tapped out. I watched 4 episodes. I'm good. I'm never going to go back and watch Iron Fist. I'm out.
Yeah.
I bought Zelda Breath of the Wild, and so I haven't been watching any shows lately.
So your life is...
But I did just kill 2 Guardians at once, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
2 Guardians with one blow?
Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome, Ted. You deserve it.
I imagined you standing when you were doing that, too, so I got a standing ovation in my mind.
Woo!
I don't even know what that means. Because I don't play video games, yeah.
You're just missing out on, like, half of what the world has to offer you.
No, in my economic mind, video games are the most obscene, depreciating thing you can buy in this world.
What? No, definitely DVD box sets are.
No, you can still at least play them on a Blu-ray player, because a video game is something that is worth $5 like 3 or 5 years from now and has a system that rapidly will quit working with controllers you can't replace, and then you just have a box of junk.
No, you're
that's
thinking
not,
of
that's definitely not true. Like, have you ever bought an old video game before? Video games have a price curve that goes right back up.
Yeah.
Video games are a horseshoe price curve.
You're it's right, like, not all of them. That's why you invest in ones with lots of time.
Yeah,
so if
just
you
buy good games. That's the secret.
Like,
don't buy
I'm
bad
still
games.
Playing Oblivion. Oblivion is like a 10-year-old game.
I have played Legend of Zelda a link
to the past
this year on my FX Twin. So I played the old cartridge and everything, and I played it this year.
No, but I mean, what happens when it breaks, though?
You get another one.
From where, though?
Wait, what happens when a DVD breaks? What happens when anything breaks?
No, I mean, if a DVD, like if a Blu-ray player dies, everything plays Blu-rays and all Blu-ray players play DVDs.
If your logic was sound, there wouldn't be such a thing as blow-up dolls.
That's also a bad investment.
Wait, I got something that'll even destroy your Blu-ray thing.
Hmm?
Steam.
Well, yeah, if you're a PC gamer, but...
Or
I don't want to spend like $3,000.
We probably should get into like digital rights management, because that's just like that's a rabbit's hole we never get out of. But just know this, you're wrong. There's definitely a way that like you can play a game on a different console later on, because they make clone consoles. And if you don't like that, then I mean, if your media breaks, then you've got the same problem with Blu-rays. Your Blu-rays are going to break too at some point.
Yeah, but I'll always be able. Wait, I just have to buy one device to play them.
Your Blu-rays. You're saying. They just stick around forever?
Yeah, a PC.
How is your VHS collection?
My VHS collection?
Yeah, there's literally consoles you can buy that will play like 8 different types of console cartridges. I'll have to look it up. It's the... They're playing all the Game Boy System cartridges, all the Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, NES, Genesis, like everything.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I haven't watched a VHS since I was in elementary school, but I know that since starting high school, that was like PS1, and now we're up to PS4, and so they outdate themselves.
Are you talking about the Extremer multi-console?
Retron 5 by Hyperkin. It plays 10 games from 10 different systems. So yeah, you can definitely play old video games, and like they're going to last longer than CDs will. Like, so solid-state cartridges will always last longer than optical media. Optical media is just, like, a gamma ray burst or anything like that will kill it. Living out of the sun will kill it. Promise you, Joe, you're wrong about this.
the only issue that really you have a problem with on cartridges is the ones that have save games saved into them.
Yeah, if it's got battery in it, you might run into trouble. But if they've got, like, rewritable flash memory in them, they're fine. You don't have to worry about it. Which includes like a lot of the later GBA games.
Yeah, so
and
like
everything after that.
So if you've got a copy of like Zelda, the original Zelda, or the original Final Fantasy, there's a chance that you won't be able to save your game. But I bet you could probably take that thing apart and replace the battery.
Yes, you can.
And you're fine again. Just as long as you
hold the reset before
pushing power.
I wouldn't know how to do that. I'm saying I don't have those old games. I have
a
bunch of disc games.
With the triangle.
You go to some place like Harbor Freight that sells you these tools for like 50 cents, and then you take it apart, you pull out the battery, pop in a new one, and put it all together.
You do need a screwdriver with a triangle, I think. I think it's a triangle screw.
Well, I've seen them at like places like Harbor Freight.
I'm just saying.
But there's always Amazon.
A screwdriver won't work.
No, it's just... Guys, it's okay. I'm just saying, I'm starting to be done with video games. I feel like
they just drive me nuts. I thought I was done with consoles, and then Zelda. Zelda always brings me back, though.
Yeah,
actually, here's the thing. I hell may be freezing over. I decided I am not getting the next Xbox console.
But you have 3 of the current gen.
Only 2.
I like them for their streaming.
I was going to have 3.
can I inject a relevant piece of news to this conversation?
No. Uh-huh.
Published today at 6:47 p.m. I'm guessing they're going off of East Coast time, maybe. Chris Kohler, on Kotaku writer and also just retro video game writer in general, wrote an article on Kotaku titled "Capcom is re-releasing Street Fighter 2 on an SNES cartridge." So, like, there's the old media is still going to be supported basically forever. It's like video games like have like this, like they've got like the same amount of reverence, if not more so, than like old vinyl and stuff like that. So like video games are like, it's the same type of, it's like, even though it's like a kind of interactive experience, and like there's like a tremendous amount of evolution in the way you can display the experience on screen from like 20 years ago until today, more so than film. It's like people will still care about it enough that they're going to like find ways to preserve it and keep it around forever. So like in terms of like video games as a format being fundamentally flawed, no, it's just going to keep going forever.
Well, they'll keep going. I'm just saying it's annoying that I'm glad with other medias are like, oh, do you want to watch this Warner Brothers movie? Well, you better buy the Warner Brothers Blu-ray player because it won't accept Sony movies on your Blu-ray player. And so I hate all the divisions. It's just so much money and investment. It's like, oh, if you want to play Zelda, what do you have? Sorry, you have to spend $200 for this console. And guess what? The new Gears of War is awesome. You got to buy this console. And have you played Last of Us 2? Do you like that you just now spent like $1,000 to play all three of these games?
That's always been the problem with video games, though.
I know. That's why I'm like, always. I'm over it.
But I just have this horde. Like, it's been the problem with video too. But HD DVD and Betamax, it's just that every one of those, one single technology became like the owner of that market. And that's even happened in video games too. Like the NES reigned supreme for like what, like half of a decade. There wasn't anything that came close to touching it. To like, I mean, the Genesis came along, but that's like what, 20% of the market. And the SNES came along, and like that owned the market too. So yeah, I mean, like video games are kind of the same deal. We're just like in this, like new and exciting era that there can be like three different platforms that you can have the stuff on. Instead, there just being one that dominates the entire market and tells the industry where to go.
But it's been like that since the Xbox, the original Xbox. We've had Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. So that's not a new thing. Yeah, and before
no,
that,
it is,
you had
it is a new thing because that happened within the last 10 years, bro.
No, it's
that's
been more
really
than 10
new.
Years. What are you talking about?
No, it's been about 10
years.
Xbox
like
came out like, what, 2005?
No, the Xbox came out in high school, Alex. We were playing Halo like 2002 or 3.
Okay, it took 12 years.
It came out in 2001.
No, what?
It came out in 2001.
So 2001? 16 years, I apologize.
Yeah, 16 years, so it's almost 20 years.
It's almost 20 years if you add 25% to that amount.
Because the video game market's only been like 30 years, so you can say over half the time you've had three players,
okay,
so that is significant.
When did you say the video game market started?
What about like the VHS the market? Like, that's like, been around for like 35 years. It's not that much newer.
No, but that's what I mean, though. When you had the VHSs, it was just, if you wanted to watch any movie on that thing, you bought one thing to play it.
Yeah.
And in DVDs, you bought one DVD
player
to play
it.
You can buy, there have always been like two things. Just one of them got beaten out of the market because one was like, oh, we can't have porn on this one, or we can't have porn on this one.
But
and
they weren't
like,
around. But Alex, come on.
They
like, in
time.
The video stores, though, like VHS was the main one. It
yeah,
wasn't
comparable
to
that. That was the reason VHS won that battle. And then DVD won the battle because no one else thought, because Laserdisc came out too early. And then between Blu-ray and HD DVD, it's because Sony said, oh, hey, you don't have to buy an accessory to play Blu-rays in our console. So video games, the reason you have a Blu-ray player.
And I had a bunch of, we had a bunch of Betamaxes when I was a kid, like, I know I'm way old compared to you, but like my parents got a Betamax. Like we didn't have a VHS. We had a Betamax for a long time. So, I mean.
No, we never had Betamax.
It was better quality.
Yeah, it was better quality and marketing and probably porn. But yeah, like we had to buy a VCR at a certain point and it wasn't cheap. But we skipped those darn top loaders, so.
All right.
We'll have to agree to disagree because this isn't going anywhere. And I,
Alex, I like that.
I'm
you're
not
going to
bunch on this.
Sensitive to it, Alex. It's okay. I'm just saying. That's why I like my books and movies because a book. You say you read this book, you buy a book, and that's all you need is to buy the book.
So U.S. won the VHS market. Japan and Europe were mostly Betamax up until. The mid to late 80s.
Yeah, but who cares? Because we lived in the U.S.
that means they weren't the only option.
Well, I'm not saying there wasn't any other options. I'm just saying it's been pretty smooth. Like, the main transition has been VHS, at least in my lifetime, VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. And even Blu-ray, I waited around because I don't like hop on technologies because it's stupid to just say, oh, day one, check out this. So I waited until it was going to be clear between who was going to win. And then I was like, oh, Blu-ray's obviously here to stay. And then I started getting into Blu-ray.
I don't know. I kind of wish I would have gotten HD DVD because those discs went on sale for like a penny.
Yeah.
I could have gotten some like great quality penny movies.
I know. I'm just mad at Blu-ray for what they did to Steve Irwin.
All right.
Forget you guys. That was funny.
It was. Yeah.
I guess it isn't too soon. That was like, what, like 3 years ago?
Yeah. Or three.
That was way more
no,
than
was
that.
Was
like,
time
that was like 10.
Alex, your timelines are screwed up.
Now we're going to have to look it up.
Yeah, his daughter is old enough to like have
wow,
his own show.
Yeah, that's been like 11 years ago.
11 years? Oh, jeez.
Alex, you'd be like, I remember playing Final Fantasy VII in 2010.
You won't be that far off, because like, I think I'd play that game later.
Wait, I remember I'm the one who's saying I played Oblivion, a 10-year-old game, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Alex. You still play Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still play Cisco on the rig.
Hey, soon you'll
actually, I played Left 4 Dead 2 like last week, so...
Soon you'll be able to say you can play you played Street Fighter 2, yeah, you know, in 2017 or 18.
So that thing that irritated me about that is it came in red and glow in the dark green. That was like opaque or
yeah, there was a green glow in the dark.
Well, yeah, it was glow in the dark and it was see through. But I want the stupid ugly brown Nintendo brown color.
Whatever. Brown?
It's like a tan.
It's gray. Gray, bro.
Brown, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not good at naming
it at
colors.
Home, it's gray.
Yeah, gray, brown, whatever.
Well, there's a reason they might do that. This could actually be a potential downfall of the retro gaming market. There's an issue with people cloning cartridges because like Earthbound stuff like that is in super short supply. So, like those games that have like a ton of copies that are available, they'll oftentimes there's like a huge demand for them too. There's a big cloning aftermarket for it where people just like take a molded cartridge, they'll put a label on it, and they'll just write to ROM chip whatever game's supposed to be in there, and then sell it for like, you know, 30, 40 bucks, something like that. And they make up like $20 in parts. And for rare games, well, not rare games, but games that have like a high aftermarket value, I've started saturating the market, and it's kind of like a bad thing. Quote unquote, to release games that look like their original counterparts if it's a clone, because like if it ever gets into like the retro gamer market and they find out like it happens to be like a clone or something, it basically just kills like the collector pricing for that game, or makes it perceived as like, oh, this is not a game you want to collect, because odds are you're going to be picking up like a counterfeit copy instead of like the original copy. So that may be like a just Capcom like doing like a wink nudge to the retro collectors, saying, hey, it's okay if you buy this copy because it comes in a color that we never release this in retail. So you can be assured that no one's ever going to think that this is like the original thing. Plus, where this is a promotional item, it actually may actually have a higher aftermarket value by being a different color. So if they want to just like preserve, like if they want to just keep the values mutually exclusive from each other, that's actually kind of a smart thing for a re-release.
And that's what I was going to say, is like, I remember the Game Boy had cartridges that were in different colors, and even the NES, there was like these special edition versions of certain games.
You might want to say like unlicensed for the NES. Because the NES had like, other than like The Legend of Zelda, the NES, like every cartridge is the same color because Nintendo wanted to make sure they could keep counterfeits off the market. And, like, the 10-gen cartridges made by Atari were in wacky colors, but that's because Atari literally was breaking I forgot exactly what it is, but they lost a court case against Nintendo about producing, like, chips that broke the lockout chip on NESs to release their own versions of Gauntlet, so they didn't have to license through Nintendo.
Oh.
There were several games like that were just off colors and weird.
Yes, 10-gen did that. There are counterfeit ones, but there's also like the Action 52. Wisdom Tree released a bunch of games.
Like a Bible Stories game that I played a lot.
Yeah, that Wisdom Tree published Bible Story. And Noah's Ark. That was for the SNES, but that one was a... I think that one was also like in a wacky cartridge, if I remember right.
Oh yeah, Maximum
Carnage. Super Nose arc.
Yeah, and also like Maximum Carnage with
That one came in red.
Mm-hmm. For Genesis.
Yeah, it also came red for the SNES. Like, I think it and... Super Noah's Ark 3D on the Super Nintendo looked wacky.
When any the gray or color, or Game Boy Color came out.
Color got a bunch of wacky colors because they did this weird thing where, like, hey, you can play this on your Super Game Boy and original Game Boy, but you can also put it in the color and get, like, a few extra colors out of it.
But there were some red ones. It looks like Doom and what's the other one?
Carnage.
Maximum Carnage, yeah.
I think that's about it. I think there's also like a couple black ones in there too for the SNES. But yeah, the NES, if it's a licensed game, I think the only two that ever got a different color were
Zelda.
Yeah, it's two Legend of Zeldas.
All right.
Pretty sure.
I thought Zelda 2 was also gold.
Yeah, both are gold.
I remember Zelda was, but I didn't think Zelda 2 was.
Huh. I don't know. My consoles went from Atari 2600 to the Xbox.
Oh, yeah, you skipped all those.
And then I was loyal.
Yeah, that's true, too. I skipped to the PlayStation, so I only had the Genesis, really, and the original Nintendo's cartridge consoles.
Man, I had an Atari when I was real young, before the NES came out. Then I had an NES, and then a Super NES, and then those were all bought by my parents, and so my parents kept them. But then I got...
So everyone came over to your house to play.
Well, I mean, all of my friends had them. I was actually one of the last people to get an NES, or a Super NES. But then I saved up money and bought a Genesis, and I was like one of two of my friends. I was one of two that actually had a Genesis. But I saved up money from like working at my helping my dad clean up roofing jobs and stuff like that. So it was pretty good.
Nice.
Let's see. The end.
All right, fine. We'll move on to how about other games. Oh, actually, yeah. Let's look at other games. Let's go Sonic. We were talking about Sonic. We totally skipped past this, actually. Sonic Mania.
Hell yeah!
Is it really great?
It's really great. I've been waiting for a good Sonic game to come along for a while. This one's it. Like, it's so good. They basically, like, the main problem with Sonic is the game has a fundamental flaw where you want to go fast, but you run into stuff all the time. This game tries to make the map laid out in such a way that if you just want to run through really fast, like, you don't just run into walls all the time. And if you do, there's, like, well-telegraphed, like, traps ahead of you, so you can, like, actually avoid them. But they also add, like, a bunch of side paths so you can do exploration. So as you're running along, you'll see, like, oh, there's an item up there. How do I get that? So you might stop and, like, try to go get it instead of just, like, run past it, unless you want to just keep running and just get through the level as quick as you can. Like, it's basically like a Sonic game that like, takes the mechanics to, like, the logical conclusion of how good the game could be if they really tried.
Well, I think the original Sonic allowed you to run through it, but you had to be careful. Like, and the springs that were, like, changed your direction and stuff, they were all, like, engaging, so you weren't just doing the same thing, like, going forward the whole level. But, I mean, you had to jump over stuff and everything. I love the original Sonic. I played a lot. I actually beat it with one hand. I, like, held the controller on my leg and, like... did the, because it's really only like all you need to do is jump and like the D-pad, so I one-handed that bad boy.
Yeah, I played 10 minutes after I ran to the same wall for the fifth time and realized that I either was going fast or not going at all. I went back to another game. Like, I'm not good at this game. I'll just accept that now.
Oh, I loved Sonic so much.
Sonic is a legit tough game, and Sonic 2 is like even harder.
Well, that's the thing.
It's tough too, but like it's, I don't know, like it has like that kind of self-regulating difficulty on it, where if you don't want to like it presents you with challenges, but you have the option to kind of like get around them different ways. So like if something's just too frustrating, you can't get past it, they give you different means to get past an obstacle.
Like an online purchase?
No, like just in terms of like the level paths you can take. So like the there's always like if there's like a path of least resistance, the player can always find it. Like a good example is there is a like I think like the second world you go to is a it's kind of like the underwater world for Sonic 2. You can you can very easily get past like a couple of like these drowning traps by just having like tails fly you over the top of them. Or you can just get like a running start and jump over these different paths, but you'll miss like a bunch of items and cool stuff. So it rewards. I guess it has like the good thing about Mega Man, like the Mega Man series, it punishes the greedy. But if anyone just wants to play the game, they can still really enjoy it. And the boss battles are like real laid back too. Like the boss battles are super easy, at least as far as I've gotten. I haven't made it all the way to the end, but it's I'm about like I think two bosses or. Second, maybe third world deep, and it's still really fun.
So it looks like it has basically the same graphics as like
the old school one.
Yeah.
The funny thing about the graphics is when we look at the screenshots, it looks the same. The animations are completely different. Like every animation has way more frames, and they're like in terms of just quality of the animations, they've gotten so much better. Like right. if you pull up in just the intro screen on YouTube, you'll notice like, oh yeah, Sonic, that's 60 frames of it. That's basically 60 frames of animation of Sonic standing up, turning around, and then wiggling his finger at you, which sounds like a dumb thing, but like every animation in the game is just super beautiful. Like they spent so much time doing the tweening for that everything looks just gorgeous. It looks almost like a King of Fighters game in terms of just like the fluidity of the animation. Or like Metal Slug, it reminds me a lot of like just that era of SNK when like, all right, let's just make really pretty games because we don't want to do 3D.
So this is on Steam.
Yeah, it's on Steam, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, the Nintendo Switch.
So it's showing a bunch of the like animations, cartoon style between. Is there a lot of cutscenes like that?
They did. There's like a promotional cutscene that, or not cutscene, but animation that that somebody put together. I forgot. I can't remember all the people associated with it. But there was like a really pretty animation that they did as like an advertisement for the game. I don't think that actually appears in game. The game, they try to make it look like it came out on a 16-bit console, but they paired it up with this really nice, I'll see if I can find a link to the animation, stick it in the show notes. But there's this really pretty animation that some folks put together to promote the game that is definitely worth a watch because the animation just on its own is just a great short film.
Okay. Actually, I might be seeing it on Steam as like a little 2D or a little black and white.
No, I'll see if I can pull it up and stick in the show and just stick in the notes.
Okay. We'll put that in.
Yeah, that is cool, though.
Yeah.
No, you can't say that. You don't like video games.
No, I'll never play it, but it's cool that they're bringing back all those retro ones. That's the other peeve, too. I can't play any of those old games anymore.
Why not?
Third grade. Because they're super freaking difficult.
Yeah, that's what
I can't beat
fun.
Like one level of any of those
Space
games.
Space Invaders.
And I
so
used to beat them
it.
All the time.
I was reading this article about this guy who had a kid and he brought the child up through like a natural progression. So like they got a year of each console until they hit the point where they got to the newer consoles. And their kid ended up preferring the older games like the roguelike or the harder games, like the roguelike games, like Binding of Isaacs and stuff like that. And their kid is actually one of the few people who's got...
It's kind of like a Binding of Isaac story that this kid has been like a guinea pig for.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there's like some roguelike games that this kid has gotten like all the achievements on and they're like the only person.
Wow.
And it's because they were like just like cultivated all the way through the game stuff. So I've been thinking I need to go buy an Atari because... I've got one on the way.
Oh. That's right.
If you play Atari Adventure and then like figure out Ninja Gaiden was coming up next year, you'd probably be playing that for a couple generations.
I love Ninja Gaiden.
It's a good game. It is super hard. I've got a recommendation for maybe not for Joe, but anyone suffering like Joe's problem of like video games are too difficult. Go back and play Kirby. Kirby is just a ridiculously easy game, but it's still just engaging enough all the way through that gives you that reward feedback loop of I complete a challenge, I get a prize, complete a challenge, get a prize. I went back and started playing that the other day with Jamie because we tried playing Super Mario Brothers 2 or Doki Doki Panic, whatever nerdy one you prefer. And it's
the hardest Mario.
It's really tough. It is so difficult. But and we could basically make no progress on it. So we started playing Kirby's Adventure on the NES, and yeah, it's totally fun still. And it's, like, yeah. really forgiving. Like, if you screw up, it's like, okay, well, you can, like, just fly out of that pit. You didn't, like, fall to your death. Or you've got a ton of health. You, that one hit didn't kill you.
Well, and the thing with two, though, like, you had the different, like, it's really unique because you had the different, like, fighting styles of the different characters. So, like, you know, Princess could float and Luigi jumped way too high and Mario was, like, average and everything. And then you got Toad that could pick stuff up super fast. So, like, different levels just required you to play a different style. And I think that's part of why it was so freaking hard, because you couldn't just grab Mario and just run through the whole thing. I mean, you could, but some levels are just ridiculously hard if you couldn't float or something like that. So
I really had to think it out, like, especially like later in the game, like early on in the game, I basically just picked Toad every time just because he could run fast with items.
Yeah. Well, and he picked stuff up so quick so you could get all the coins to get the free guys.
So yeah, he was like a good one. Like, I usually used him like just early on for the most part, and then just like later on in the game, yeah, you're right, I switched like Peach and Luigi.
Yeah, I used Peach a lot for any of the ice levels because
because he could like get the most horizontal distance in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you'd end up sliding and like, oh man, I don't want to slide right now, so you'd like just hover, and it was better because you could just stop by landing and she'd stop. So
did you ever play Resident Evil 4?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, like, those ice levels remind me of, like, the laser trap level from Resident Evil 4, where just, like, you basically just have to learn the right timing to push buttons so you don't die.
Oh, yeah, like, so you leap through them.
Yeah, you basically just memorize it, so, like, you just push buttons at certain times. You can play, like, that level blindfolded by the time you get it, because it doesn't have much to do with, like, visual cues. It's all just timing on that level. Levels.
That is a good game, though.
I think there might have been a time where I could play Mario, Super Mario 1, blindfolded, because that's all that game was, too. Like, everything was always in the same spot, so you just run through and...
Super Mario Maker, have you tried that one?
No, I haven't played that one.
Oh, that one's fun. Like, if you like Super Mario World, you should definitely give Mario Maker a try, because, like, the all the levels people made for Super Mario World, well, not all the levels, but there have been a lot of really good levels that people have built for Super Mario World. With Super Mario World physics, they're really fun.
Yeah, because you have the Wii U, so you could.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, mm-hmm.
If you got a Wii U, definitely pick up Super Mario World. That's one of those games you kind of have to own if you got a Wii U. It's like even if you only play it for like half an hour, you'll like be thinking every now and then of like just coming back to it. Like it's one of those games you'll come back to like several times, like over the course of years.
I got a bunch of Mario games. I need to like go and play. We were playing some with. So I get frustrated when I play with Anna on any of the newer Mario games where you all play at the same time, because I like to go fast.
Yeah, and he likes to throw me. He just like picks me up and then just like runs with me or just like throws me into things, and I really don't like that either.
Yeah, we're both frustrated. Well, so because like I want to go fast and she's going slow, so I'll pick her up and I'll run with her, and then like when I'm about to die, I try to throw her onto the ground so that she survives, so I can like. But don't kill her, but sometimes it doesn't help.
So you can
just like throw her in a pit.
Yeah, I end up doing that a lot. And yeah,
you're going with me.
Did you ever play X-Men Legends?
No.
Oh, that's like a problem. Like if you're playing X-Men Legends online, like you just like end up in a pit because like someone played the like, Juggernaut or Colossus just throw you in pits over and over again. It's like in Smash Brothers when Donkey Kong grab you and just run off an edge. Like, it's not a good tactic, but it's hilarious and frustrating to the person.
I can remember playing Street Fighter 2 Turbo at the arcade, and someone had figured out that if you just use Vega and there's like a... Their tackle move, like, almost always overrides everybody else's tackle move. And so they would just do that over and over and over again. But it turns out that the Dragon Fist counters that very well, so I put them in their place. They were mad.
Yeah.
Like the school bully just like got beat down by some kid who just knew like the special moves better.
Yeah.
Because yep. I always liked Ryu or Ken because they had like more utility. I always thought like some of them were like, you know, you'd play like E Honda, you had to get in close. You play Zangief, you had to get in close. If you You know, some of the other ones you had to keep them far away, but like Ken and Ryu, you could do their moves with a second's notice, where you couldn't with like Guile because you had to like hold it back, or Blanka, you had to like tap fast or something, but you could just pull off their moves immediately. So I like those players better.
Every time I've ever watched watched people who are, this sounds weird, but like Major League players for Street Fighter, they tend to pick like Chun-Li or Ryu. Like, they stick with kind of like the, or like Ken, like they kind of stick with the, those like middle of the road characters, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
I guess it's like, true for a lot of fighting games. So like in Smash Brothers, it's always Fox. Like that's the character everyone knows associates with tournament play with Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. I think just like the other moves are good. Their players are fun, but like it's impossible to pull off some of Zangief's moves reliably.
God, Zangief is so hard. It's like Mortal Kombat movesets, but with like a Street Fighter character. Right, it's so insane.
Right. You got to get in close, and like his like 360 file driver thing, man, I could never pull that dang thing off.
But if you could pull it off
on the controller 8 times, you can kill
If you could pull it off, was it like the ultimate?
It didn't do a ton of damage. No, it wasn't even worth it.
That's no fun.
In the later game, Zangief's moves like actually did a ton of damage. Like I forgot it. I was going to say Marvel vs. Capcom, I think, too. Like, in terms of just sheer damage you could do to somebody, like, Zangief's moveset did, like, just insane amounts of damage, but it was, like, impossible to pull off. Like, I always had a really hard time with him. And also, like, Mayor Hagger, who's basically Zangief's moveset in MVC3, like, he did a ton of damage, too, but it's always really hard to actually pull it off just because it took so long. Capcom likes doing that. They like putting in characters that are just insanely hard to use to the point that nobody can use them in any reliable fashion. But if like a really good player knows how to use them, they can humiliate really bad players. They're basically there just to make other people feel bad. Like Phoenix Wright, that's a good example. Phoenix Wright in MVC3 is exactly that.
We're getting long, so we'll finish up with a few things that are actually happening this weekend. One of them was Splatoon 2 Splatfest.
Yeah, the Splatoon 2 is having their second Splatfest for this generation, and it's going to be invisibility versus flight. You get to pick which team you want to be on, and fight for invisibility being the ultimate superpower or flight being the ultimate superpower. So get your weird paintball squirt guns ready. We're gonna decide which one's best.
So what is that on? Is that just for
Nintendo
Wii?
Switch?
For Switch? Okay.
Ah.
So it's not the, is it on the
Switch
Wii?
Exclusive.
On the Wii U at all?
Yeah, it's Switch exclusive.
Okay.
Splatoon 1 was on the Wii U and Splatoon 2 is Switch.
I might have to go pick that up then.
It's actually a really fun shooter. Like it is every bit as much fun as the Wii U version, and it runs a little bit better.
Okay. So yeah, go check that out. You have a Switch, and they're showing up. They're not even hard to get anymore.
Oh, the Switches?
Yeah, I walked into GameStop when I was...
It's because Joe stopped trying to buy one.
That's right. It's that much of a demand.
As soon as you decided to...
Demand finally dropped out.
Exactly.
Yep. And it's all your fault.
I had no idea you guys were this sensitive about video games. All I said was just, me personally, I'm done with video games. I'm over
it. Joe, I had like a Sounds of the Land style Buffalo Bill basement full of stuffed Marios.
That's what I thought. I was like, holy crap.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I grew up with everybody telling me that video games are useless. But if it wasn't for video games, I wouldn't have the job that I have right now. Like, I'm a computer programmer because I loved video games. Like,
yeah.
And that's what drove my, like, because it was problem solving and drove me into computers. So, and like, I was always told all the time that video games were a waste of time and just terrible and everything like that. So, yeah, I get a little defensive when you start to sound like my mom.
No, I'm saying financially, they're the poorest investment for me.
It's
not a waste of time. If someone gave them to me for free, I would play them.
Elder Scrolls.
Like Ted said, you're sounding like his mom.
Yeah.
That's why I like the Elder Scrolls games. You could get the special edition $200 version. I will still spend years, actually at this point, decade, playing this game. Tell me a movie that you could get that much worth.
No, I'm not talking about money, because I would say if you guys see my house, I have bigger collections than all of you guys of everything that I own, like collectively. So I've spent more money on collecting things. That's all I'm saying. Is that video games
garbage.
Is the bottom of the barrel for me now.
See, I'm starting to feel like the physical things are, I'm starting to pull back on, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got too much stuff.
Yeah.
That's why Steam's great, because I don't have to have stuff associated with that. I can just download it.
Yeah.
And assuming that my ISP isn't a complete turd, which...
It depends.
Spoiler alert, it is. I can get a game relatively quickly, and I don't have to worry about it. So, but yeah, and I'm going to stop buying you flowers because it's a bad investment.
Because they die.
It is a bad investment.
Are you just going to buy me video games then?
No, those are bad investments too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, then what would you buy me?
I don't know. Action figures, I guess.
You can get Pickle Rick.
Yeah. The Funko Pickle Rick.
Yes.
Comic books.
It lasts forever.
Actually, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Depending upon what it is, primarily if it's like something in the Batman series or Harley Quinn or
like
something.
Like Free Comic Book Day, that's when you get comic books.
There's plenty of those in that.
That would still be
only twice
decent,
a year, are you saying that? Only on Halloween and on Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gee.
I'm a romantic.
Well,
you're cheap.
Brugal. That's the word.
I just bought you a $100 pillow.
Yeah.
That was just the beginning. See, it's all downhill from there.
It's L-shaped.
It's going to go up. Everything has to go up from that point.
You guys did make the fatal mistake, though. I did my professional development. I learned with my personality is that... I can keep a cool head and pick apart other people's weaknesses. And so now I know your guys' Achilles heels. If I want to just be mad, I can just make fun of video games.
If it took you this long to figure that out, you suck at your job.
No, I didn't know you guys were this hardcore about it. Because I never...
of Nintendo.
Because we overlapped with video games for a little bit. It's just been a recent thing.
So that's why I put Mega Man, the TV show, in. Because I knew Alex would...
Yeah.
I know your Achilles heel is
your face. You were thinking I was going to like say the Mega Man show would suck because you can't figure that out from a Mega Man fan. Only I would know the Mega Man fan is garbage.
Ah, that's right.
No, I said your Achilles heel is that your face is softer than my fist.
I don't know about that.
Now it's nerd violence. Gee.
I know. See?
Okay, how about this? Hmm? The other thing going on this weekend. Force Friday.
Oh, Star Wars?
Star Wars. You get the Star Wars app. You go around to places. There's 200 realtor or different stores.
I already played Pokemon.
Oh, no, you get to go. And instead of, you know, catching them, you scam them.
What?
In RL.
This isn't getting any better.
There's 15 characters you can elect.
And then?
And then there's stuff. They're still releasing more information.
And then do you play something?
Well, you can, like... have videos of you, like, hanging out with General Akbar.
And then?
Videos of hanging out with General Akbar.
And then?
And then videos hanging out with Finn.
I noticed, what was it, Rogue One went to Netflix really quick.
Yeah, because for the next 5 years, Netflix is getting them before any of the other...
Is Disney going to cut their deal?
Okay,
or
so
what are they
going to
do?
It's going to be 5 years before Disney ends up getting their own streaming service officially. And it's questionable whether they're going to officially lose that, because that was only supposed to be for 5 years.
Yeah, because what's that going to do to the Marvel shows?
Yeah, that's the question, because it is Netflix created.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Spider-Man and Sony, where Netflix might be able to make this. But the other side is we're talking 5 years down the road. It might be time to move on from those two other shows.
No, but I mean, once it's done, though, that's what I wonder, if they'll just cut future productions or they'll be able to keep what they have, because I don't know.
There's a lot of negotiations still going on with it. But it's, yeah, they got 5 years.
Yeah.
And then?
Yeah.
And then?
And then?
There's going to be a new Star Wars movie with Obi-Wan Kenobi. And it's not officially Ewan McGregor, but he has he's a very bad poker face. So it's probably going to be Ewan McGregor. So I'm going to work for my second autograph on that poster of three.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think the last one's going to be the hardest one to get.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
You can do it.
I'm going to have to find him on, like, you know.
I have a Nissan Sentra. I'll just
drive it over my poster.
That's right. You'll have tire marks.
All right, maybe I'll catch him in like, you know, what, Taken 25 or Wolf Punch 2.
Why is everybody still taking my stuff?
He's going to eventually run out of things for people to take.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'll have to show up to like some random movies like, this is for Taken 5. Why are you pulling this poster out? You're the last autograph. Just please. Yeah. For listeners, we've talked about prior, we have a Star Wars Episode 1 fight scene poster, and I was able to get Ray Park's autograph on it, so I got to work on everybody else's that's in it.
That's right. Get your Ewan McGregor.
That'd be awesome.
Yep. It was, and it's like, I'm not going to sell it or anything. I'm just like, it's going to go up on the wall, and it's going to stay there, and it's going to be awesome. And
well, yeah, who would buy it? It's Episode 1.
It's the best part of Episode 1.
Unless you like the best things. Sometimes the best things to get autographed are the most obscure things. Because like there's a Top Gun NES cartridge that's like a Val Kilmer. I think we talked about this last time, about a Val Kilmer autograph on it. It's always fun just to like get like weird pieces of that person's like videography, discography, whatever, and get it on get an autograph on that. Because usually if they just see like a, like if you go up to like, I don't know, if like Bruce Willis had an autographed Die Hard and he didn't just like spit on you, he probably like just sign it and like just not even care about it. But if you take something really weird up there or something that it was underrated or very unpopular in the box office, they might get a conversation out of it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like Jamie took up like literally a piece of Spider-Man cross stitch for Stan Lee to sign, and yeah, he actually kind of stopped for a second, like had to like digest what he was seeing when it cheated.
So what was it? Penn and Teller had that show, BS, and it was on Showtime, I think. Yeah, so I had them sign an HBO shirt. It's still in my closet. Maybe I should try and sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely take something weird. It'll be way more fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, so probably should wrap things up. We'll go with famous last words. Alex.
Public service announcement. Nintendo's social network Miiverse is going to sunset November 8th. There's a way you can export your history. Just make sure you log in from a PC to your Miiverse account and ask for the download link. It will take weeks to get the link, but it's the only way to preserve your history.
I was going to say, after you guys jumped me, that with my lack of enthusiasm, I have a lot of classic games I was willing to share, but now screw all of you. I'm selling them on eBay.
I'll buy them all.
I really do, because I'm not kidding, Ted. I have a super insane collection. So this is not like, oh, I bought 3 video games as a teenager. I have a crap load of video games that sit in like 3 or 4 totes in my garage, and now I don't know what to do with them.
I don't know what to say after that, really. I guess, Ted.
And then...
No, and then...